From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he brings the next portion of a message called The Cure for Fainting. The text is chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The emphasis throughout chapter 11, of course, is living by faith. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, it is by faith in the finished work of Christ that Christians receive the grace and the strength to endure in their Christian lives. In the scriptural sense, fainting is a great weariness that comes upon God's people that make them think of giving up. Often adverse circumstances that never seem to have an end can cause the Christian to throw up his hands. And yet, in a great declaration, the text exhorts us to consider Christ. This is the key to overcoming fainting. The testimony of God's people through the ages teaches us that a believer who considers Christ cannot be stopped. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of The Cure for Fainting. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Psalm 120 and verse 5. Woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. As a Christian, you have to live in the midst of an ungodly world, and it is of little use for you to cry, Woe is me. Jesus did not pray that you should be taken out of the world, and what he did not pray for, you need not desire. Better far in the Lord's strength to meet the difficulty and glorify Him in it. The enemy is ever on the watch to detect inconsistency in your conduct. Be therefore very holy. Remember that the eyes of all are upon you, and that more is expected from you than from other men. Strive to give no occasion for blame. Let your goodness be the only fault they can discover in you. Like Daniel, compel them to say of you, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Seek to be useful as well as consistent. Perhaps you think, if I were in a more favorable position, I might serve the Lord's cause, but I cannot do anything where I am. But the worse the people are among whom you live, the more need have they of your exertions. If they be crooked, the more necessity that you should set them straight. And if they be perverse, the more need have you to turn their proud hearts to the truth. Where should the physician be, but where there are many sick? Where is honor to be won by the soldier, but in the hottest fire of the battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on downy beds to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they. They had to hazard their lives unto the death in the high places of the field, and you will not be crowned until you also have endured hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Therefore, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong.
Thank you.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you.
was a Galilean fisherman. Nobody knew the treachery of the Sea of Galilee better than Peter. Nobody knew the impossibility of walking on top of the water better than Peter. He saw those waves. But you see, as he saw those waves in the boat, Peter was looking unto Jesus. He was considering Christ. And he was thinking as a spiritual man. And he said, Lord, bid me come to you. In other words, Lord, give me your word, and I stand in your word, and not a thing in heaven, earth, or hell can ever overcome the word of God. He was thinking right. And as he thought right, he walked in the water at the Lord's command. When you have the Lord's word for something, you can defy anything and anybody. When the Lord bids you, God's command implies a promise. You can take it with both hands and trust Him. But when Peter got out in the water, he began to think as a carnal man. He began to think, what I'm doing is impossible. What I'm doing can't possibly be true. What God expects of me cannot possibly be done. He began to sink. This is a very real danger for every Christian, and especially for every preacher. Especially for preachers. I have to be honest and say that this is something that particularly I have to battle with. I have to battle with many things. I look in the mirror every morning. After all these years, I still have the courage to do that. But I look in the mirror every morning and I find the biggest battleground of all. But here is a particular aspect of the preacher's battle. The young preacher setting out with the call of God fresh in your mind, and the assurance of that call welling up within your heart, and all the zeal and energy and faith that God gives, especially to youth. You can do anything, you can face anything. And I'll not say as a young preacher I was never cast down. I was cast down many a time by my own inabilities. But yet it was always with a spiritual resilience to get up and to go. It didn't matter that it was impossible. That was one part of it that never bothered me for a moment. When God called me to the Free Presbyterian Church, I was hoping to be given the responsibility of looking after a huge congregation of 6 people without any real promise, any real hope that they'd become very much bigger. It was a tough time. Remember, in Britain, to that time, no separatist denomination had ever successfully been established. I'm talking now in the modern times. The Free Presbyterian Church of Scotland had been established in 1893, and it had done quite well, but in a totally different set of circumstances. In our country, certainly, it had never been done. Presbyterian Church had separated in the late 1920s. It had done well for a little while. When I tell you that from 1936, 1937, or 1938, they hadn't seen one more church formed until the 1980s, you'll see that they weren't doing much. So, this was impossible. That never bothered me. There were no people. There were no money. There was no money. There were no prospects. I have to be honest and say that those were things that never entered our minds. Impossible? Nonsense! If God has called us to this, we believe that He's going to bless us. We believe that he's going to give us an awakening. I was just reading, and I'm going to come back to this thought in other services at other times, but I was just reading, again, some of the life story of Gypsy Smith. Gypsy Smith used to get up, and his congregations in England and America would hear him say, "Draw a circle around yourself, stand in the middle of that circle, and cry to God, 'Lord, send revival to everything inside this circle.'" You can't say, "Lord, I'm going to be responsible for revival for America. I'm going to be responsible for revival for the world." But man, you can get a circle around yourself and say before God, "I want everything to be dealt with inside this circle. I want every obstacle to be removed. I want everything to be brought under subjection to Christ. And I want revival for all inside the circle. Start with me." That was our attitude. And God blessed that attitude. God answered it. When a preacher said to me some years ago, "The Free Church work is a young man's work," I didn't mean to be unkind, but it really did sound a bit unkind. I said, "A lot of nonsense, it's just what you make it. It's the work's there for you to go and do." And of course it was true. But I have to see, as a preacher goes on, the impossibility of what he's seeking to do. Let me bring it from the general right down to the particular. The impossibility of what this congregation is seeking to do, and what this preacher is seeking to do, not only in worshiping and serving the Lord here, but in training, sending out, supporting, encouraging young men in this country, and ultimately much beyond the borders of this country. The impossibility of that just comes home. And it's easy to begin to think like a carnal man. We don't have the numbers that we want. We don't have the finance that we want. We don't have this, we don't have that, we don't have the other thing. Whereas spiritual thinking says, we have our God and our Savior. We have His promise. We have His covenant. We have His Spirit. While we think spiritually, we'll walk in the water. But when we look at circumstances and we begin to think like carnal men, like Peter, we begin to sink. There's a famous example of this in the Old Testament. You remember Elijah? Elijah's had a rough handling from preachers. I really can't understand preachers who think enough of themselves and their exegetical skills and their faithfulness to be able to criticize Elijah. The prophet of fire. It is true, however, that when he got what the late W.P. Nicholson called a love letter from Jezebel, he got his eyes off the Lord. This is an amazing thing. And I think the Lord has put it there to let us know that what the Epistle of James says is not just rhetoric. He was a man subject to like passions as we are. Do you see Elijah there on Mount Carmel? One man. Now there were 7,000 who hadn't bowed the knee to Baal, but they weren't to the fore in Mount Carmel. There was one man. 450 prophets of the groves, 400 prophets of Baal. I take them to be separate groups, so let's take 850 to one. And then the great national audience on looking. And Elijah stands there. One man for God. One man. Never underestimate the power of one man sold out to God. Wasn't it D.L. Moody who adopted the motto that the world has yet to see what God can do through one man sold out to God. And Elijah saw God come down to do a mighty thing that day. See him in the fullness of his energy. He runs before the royal chariot. Even the horses can hardly keep up with him. Elijah, on the crest of the wave of a mighty victory. And then he gets this epistle from Jezebel. And suddenly, he turns his eyes from the God whose name he bore. He sees Jezebel still on the throne, still in a position to threaten. His heart sinks within him, and he runs away, fleeing for his life, and yet at the same time saying to the Lord, Lord, let me die. I'm a failure. There's nothing that is more enervating, more destroying to a man's ministry than to feel I am a failure. To look back over what you've done and say, Lord, it counts for nothing. And you know, when the devil gets you mentally exhausted and enfeebled, you begin to reinterpret the past. Elijah, look back, Mount Carmel. A failure. Now, no right-thinking man could think that, but that's how Elijah saw it. A failure. All in vain. Let me die. It's not worth living. I know what it is to be there. Every preacher does. I think of one English preacher. His ministry is normally held up as one of the most successful in 19th century England. The crowds flock to hear him. His written products are still available today. And they're supposed to be homiletical, theological, and literary gems. Yet he died in his mid-30s of a broken heart with the awful oppression, my life, my ministry has been an absolute failure. That's what happened to Elijah. The Lord tells us very clearly what was wrong with Elijah. Physically, of course, he hadn't eaten and drunk as he ought to have done. Even Christians ought to be careful about those things. But the Lord came and he gave him food. He fed him and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Elijah got his strength back when he got back in fellowship with God. Now see the declaration here. When you consider Christ, you can't be stopped. But when you forget the Lord, you're bound to fail.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.